It's a treat and a privilege for me to be with you in this capacity and to serve the Lord as we are together in worship. Please, if you would, turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And if you have your Bibles, you might want to turn there. And otherwise, the scripture lesson is in the bulletin, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 16 through 18. Here again, God's Word. What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. May God be pleased to bless to our hearts His Word and the preaching of His Word this morning. I wonder why you've come to worship on this particular day. Any of you want to offer an answer to that question? Well, if you're one of the older folks in the congregation, you might answer in this way. Well, I've had this habit of life for a number of years, and it just doesn't seem right not to come to worship on the Lord's Day morning. And after all, the fourth commandment says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And it's my duty to be here. And so I'm here at the appointed time and in the appointed place. So far, so good. If you are on the younger end of the spectrum, you may be saying to yourself, well, actually, Pastor, the reason I'm here is that my mom and dad grabbed me by the scruff of the neck and drug me out of bed and put me in this seat, and that's why I'm here this morning. I'd really like to be back in bed, thank you very much. And if you're in between, maybe a college student, you're thinking to yourself, yes, it's a good thing for me to be here today because I know I'm going to be talking to mom and dad on the phone and they're going to say, did you go to church today? And I need to be able to say yes. Well, all of these things are true, and it is true that coming to worship is our duty, and it is true that it's a good thing, children, young people, for your parents to bring you to worship. To bring you to the worship of our God. It is a good thing. And it is true that it's a good thing that you are able to say to your parents when you talk to them on the phone, yes, Mom and Dad, I was in church today. And maybe you'll be even able to say what the sermon was about. Perhaps. Well, as I say, these are all good reasons. And as you look at the bulletin this morning, and as we have traversed the order of worship, you should have discerned something important. That you were not only called to worship, and you not only heard an invocation, that is, a prayer, seeking the presence of God in our midst. And you not only heard these things as you came into the presence of God, but you heard and participated in the reading of the law of God. And you heard then assurances of forgiveness and pardon. And these things were purposeful, friends. Not just a formula, not just a custom, not just a ceremony, but a purposeful order to bring you into the presence of the great God of the universe, because God has called you together this morning for a purpose. And I've given you part of that purpose at the head of the outline, that it is God's purpose as He calls you together to apply His special covenant promises to your heart and to work holiness and assurance in you. God is present to work in your life, and God calls you into His presence for this purpose. And we ought to be eager, friends, eager to come into the presence of God and to note His work in our lives. Let me help you see how this works out in the text that is before us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 16 through 18. I want to begin in the middle of that text, in verse 17. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean. God, yes, God calls you to be separate from sin and to return to Him in corporate worship. This is what the text is about. We sometimes look at it as simply a text that speaks about being holy in our Christian lives. But the text bears much more weight. And to help you understand the weight that it bears, I'd like you to turn back in your Bibles, if you have them, to Isaiah chapter 52. And note with me the context of this verse that Paul quotes. Isaiah 52. In Isaiah 52, it begins this way. Awake, clothe yourselves in your strength, O Zion. Clothe yourself in beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For the circumcised and the unclean will no longer come into you. Shake yourselves from the dust. Rise up, O captive Jerusalem. Loose yourself from your chains around your necks, O captive daughter of Zion. Notice what Isaiah is talking about. He's looking ahead to the captivity of the people of God. And this is the context of the verse that Paul uses, the captivity in Babylon. Isaiah goes on, thus says the Lord, you were sold for nothing, and you will be redeemed without money. Yes, the people of God were in captivity, and then they were called out of captivity. Verse 4, for thus says the Lord God, my people went down at the first into Egypt to reside there. Then the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what do I have here, declares the Lord, seeing that my people have been taken away without cause? The Babylonians have come, and they have had no reason to conquer and to plunder Israel, but they have. And again the Lord declares, those who rule over them howl, and my name is continually blasphemed all the day long. Therefore my people, says Isaiah, shall know my name. Therefore in that day I am the one who is speaking. Here am I. In the midst of captivity because of sin, God declares, my people will know my name. How lovely, verse 7, how lovely on the mountains are the feet of Him who brings good news, who announces peace, who brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns. This is the announcement that the people of God need to hear. This is what the people in captivity need to hear. Your God is King. Your Lord is the ruler of the universe. Listen, your watchmen lift up their voices. They shout joyfully together. They will see with their own eyes when the Lord restores Zion. Break forth, shout joyfully together for waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted His people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared His holy arm in the sight of all the nations, that all the ends of the earth may see the salvation of our God. The people in captivity in Babylon know that God will come and that God reigns and that God will deliver them. And surely this is the case. God does come and God does deliver them. Now note verse 11. The Lord has bared, verse 10, the Lord has bared His holy arm in the sight of all the nations, that all the ends of the earth may see the salvation of our God. Depart, depart, go out from there, touch nothing unclean, go out of the midst of her, purify yourselves, you who carry the vessels of the Lord. Come out from under captivity, come out from the idol worship of Babylon. Come out from that horrid place because God delivers you. And when the people of God came out from under the yoke of bondage and slavery in Babylon, where did they go? They returned to Jerusalem. They returned to the place of worship. They returned to rebuild the temple that was there. They returned to the worship of God. And this is the construction that we see that Paul is leaning on in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 16 and following. Therefore, in verse 17, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean. Yes, come out from under the bondage of sin and return to the worship of God. This is what God is saying. And this is a profound construction that Paul derives from the prophet Isaiah. And so Paul begins to speak of the temple. And notice how he does it. He calls his covenant people to worship. Look at verse 16. For we are the temple of the living God. Just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. We are brought out from under captivity to sin, and we are brought out from under bondage to sin for the purpose of gathering together as the people of God to give Him the worship publicly, corporately, that He is due. For we, the Apostle Paul says, we are the temple of the living God. And do you remember in the Old Testament what the temple was about? Yes, it was the place of worship in the Old Testament. But it was the place when Solomon built the temple and he dedicated that temple with many offerings. It was the place into which God descended with His Shekinah glory and proved His presence among His people. Hence the saying, the covenant saying that Paul gives us in verse 16. For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. God, friends, calls you to the public worship of Himself in order that you may be together and that you might hear the declaration of the living God. I am your God. You are my people, and I commit myself to dwell in your midst. What a declaration that is. What a thing that is. In one of my classes at the seminary, I remember in speaking about this promise and just saying a few words about God coming to us and saying to you and to me, I am your God, implying you belong to me. And the tears were welling up in the eyes of one of the young ladies there. Again, our text in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean. Come out of the world, friends. Come out from under the yoke of bondage to sin, and come back to God, and come back to the worship of the Lord our God. You see, this is a call to worship. This is a call to a public declaration by the people of God that we belong to Him. And God is committing Himself as we come together to dwell in our midst and declare to us, I am your God, and you are my people, and I will dwell among you. This is no idle thing. As the God of the universe condescends to come down to us and form us together as a worshiping community in order that He may dwell among us and deal with our hearts and draw us to Himself. Look at the connection between verses 16 and 17. For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean. As Christ the Lord delivers you, separate yourself from every known sin. Make a conscious effort to do so and commit yourselves, friends, to the public worship of the great God of heaven and of the great God of glory. This is what Paul is telling us. And you notice that this is not something that is done individualistically. In our culture and in our society, we think very individualistically. And we have come to the place where we honestly believe that the most profound experiences a person may have with the living God is one-on-one. In Bible study alone. In counseling with someone one-on-one. And I submit to you that this is an impinging of the secular society upon the Church of Jesus Christ. And when I think of heaven which is to come, and myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands that will be gathered around the throne of God and of Jesus Christ in heaven which is to come. And the choir of myriads is singing, and we are caught up in that corporate scene. I submit to you that this will be one of the most profound encounters with the living God. And it is a corporate scene. And as God comes to us in our public worship today, and as we are gathered with others across the globe who are in like assemblies, God is coming to us and committing Himself to us. Think of this. God is coming to us and committing Himself to us to dwell among us and to draw us up to Himself into heaven. This is God's commitment to us. And in the corporate assembly, we come to meet with the living God. Note our text again. For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean. And I will welcome you. Under the hand of the grace of God, separating yourself from the world and coming into the assembly of God's people to worship Him, God says to you and to me, I will welcome you. When I was a young man in the army, I had a falling out with my father. And I asked the army to send me to Korea. It was in that place that I met Christ and was converted to faith in Him. And 13 months later, when I came home, because of the falling out with my father, I did not tell my parents that I was coming home. And when I got to the airport in Philadelphia, my folks lived in South Jersey. When I got to the airport in Philadelphia, I called my mom. And I said, Mom, will you come and meet me? I'm taking the bus. And she knew exactly where the meeting place was. And so I got on the bus. And when I got to the meeting place, it was dark and it was a parking lot. And there were just a couple of street lights above the parking lot. And the bus stopped and there was a car parked quite a distance from the bus. And I got out of the bus. And I squinted and stooped a little bit. Who is that getting out of that car? It was my dad. And he ran. And I ran. And he fell on my neck. And he hugged me. And he welcomed me. He welcomed me home. This is what God says to you, dear friends, through Jesus Christ. Come out from under the bondage of sin and degradation. Come back to me. Come home. Come home to my church. Come home to my people. And gather with my people where I am present in the midst of them and I am committing myself to be with my people. And when you come back home, I will welcome you. This is what the text is saying. And this is the encounter, dear friends in Christ, that God is committing Himself to in His public worship in this world. And as this is the case, is it not true that when we separate ourselves from sin and come back to God and to His worship, we are taking a step in the direction of holiness and sanctification. You see, God is present in the congregation. God is present in the congregation when you come to build you up in holiness. It's very interesting, I think, that the text, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people, comes from the book of Leviticus. And the book of Leviticus has much to say about holiness. It probably has more mentions. It probably mentions holiness and the Hebrew terminology for holiness and sanctification more than about any other book. And Leviticus is also, we should remember, a book about worship. So that when the people of God separated themselves from the world and came into the presence of God in worship, this was an expression of their holiness. And I submit to you, dear friends, that a primary way in which you express holiness and separation from the world today is to publicly come together as the people of God and worship Him. To separate yourself from the world on the Lord's Day and come together for public worship. And God commits Himself to this assembly to say to you, I will be your God and you shall be my people and I will dwell in your midst. God commits Himself to you to fulfill His covenant promises in this assembly, in your hearts. This past summer I had the privilege of preaching in Columbus, Indiana. And as is often the case, I preached a simple gospel message. And after the service, and in speaking with a lady that was senior to me, she said to me, why is it that I often feel my sins so fully? I said to her, you know, I think the reason is, or part of the reason is, that you've grown in Christ and you know His goodness and grace. And when you come into His presence, you don't feel worthy in and of yourself. And you have a sense of the degradation of sin because you see how great and how good God actually is. And then you hear in the gospel that despite your sin, and my sin. Because of Christ, God accepts you. And every week, that is reaffirmed in your heart. And you grow in holiness. In another circumstance, this past summer, I had the opportunity to preach in Colorado, at Westminster, Colorado. And I was given an assignment. Can you imagine that? The pastor gave me an assignment. He said, I want you to preach from the fourth chapter of Daniel. I said, the whole chapter? He said, yes. And so I did. And Daniel is a book about sovereignty. And after the message, attempting to give the people of God encouragement about the great doctrine of sovereignty, one of the men in the congregation came to me and he said, thank you, Pastor. Because I have this child who's been deformed from birth. And I often get discouraged. But I know that God put me in this place and set me aside for that very purpose, to take care of this boy. And this man, by being in the assembly of God's people and hearing the Word of God, was growing in his understanding of holiness and sanctification. And God is not only present here in this place, dear friends, to build holiness in each one of your lives and in my life. God is present here and now to build assurance in your life. There are more people than we care to imagine who have a difficulty in the area of assurance. And when we gather in the midst of God's people in the congregation, God is present to build us up in the area of assurance. Look at our text again. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. When I met my father in that parking lot years ago, and he embraced me, I knew that he welcomed me as his son. And that embrace was an assurance of the fact that I was, in fact, his son after all the estrangement of the past months. And so it is with our God. He declares to you and to me, I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Our oldest daughter, Gail, has an adopted son and a foster daughter, and the foster daughter needs very much to be assured continually that she has the love of her mother. And so it is with each one of us. We need that assurance. I need that. I know I need that assurance. And I am glad to come into the presence of the Lord with the people of God and to hear the pronouncement of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that God, not some ephemeral spirit, not some world power, not some broken down United Nations, but the God of the universe welcomes me. He loved me and He gave Himself for me. Do I need to hear that message? Of course I do. And when we come together as the people of God, God is present to build you up in assurance and to build me up in assurance. Isn't this a reason then to come eagerly before God and to worship Him publicly, because He is present to do these very things? Think about the order of worship again. How you were called. And greeted. And there was an invocation for God to be present. And you're called to draw near to God. And He says, I will draw near to you. And then He says, through the law and a recognition of your sins and a comprehension of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who died on Calvary's cross to bear our sins in His body on the tree, through a comprehension of that gospel and a trust in Christ, He welcomes you. And then lo and behold, He instructs you from the book of the covenant, the Bible, in the life that you are to lead, and He's present to apply His word to your hearts. It's covenant renewal. And it's covenant renewal performed by God. And so I call you, dear friends, to commit yourselves to the public worship of our God through Jesus Christ, who is the Lord. And I call you to remember that when you gather, it's not just because of duty. It's not just because of mom and dad. It's because God calls you. And God is committing Himself to you in this place to work in your hearts, to build you up in holiness, and to build you up in the assurance of your salvation, and to make you men and women of the living God, who will walk in this world with countenances that show that you belong to Him. And week by week, God assembles you to renew His covenant promises with you to this end. Here again, our text. Or what agreement has the temple of God's with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord. And do not touch what is unclean. And I will welcome you. And I will be a father to you. And you shall be sons and daughters to me. And who is it that is saying this to you and to me? Says the Lord Almighty. He is the one who says this to you and to me, and who thus commits himself to us in this very circumstance of corporate, public worship before him. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you for your promises. Thank you that you, first of all, commit yourself to your people. And we thank you that through Jesus Christ, we are indeed your people, called out by your voice and by the work of Jesus Christ. And we pray that week by week, as we have the privilege of gathering together, that you will indeed be in our midst. And we commit ourselves afresh to look forward to come together in public worship, to meet with you, to hear your voice, to be welcomed by you, to be assured by you, to be built up by you. And we thank you, Father, that this is your commitment to us. Weak and feeble though we be, and yet you are very great and very gracious. And so we thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.